My dear friends in Christ, peace be with you. On this second Sunday of Lent, the Church presents us with this mysterious and awesome event of the transfiguration of Jesus on Mount Tabor, witnessed by the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And this event of the transfiguration, this incredible event in the life of Jesus, is something that has captured Christian imagination over the centuries. It's captured the hearts of poets and artists and religious people. And if any of you know much about icons, there are many different icons that depict this event in the life of Jesus. It's a very important event for many people's lives, and they've contemplated it. As a matter of fact, I have a very good friend that is a Carmelite nun, and when she, in preparation for her Golden Jubilee, she's an artist. In preparation for her Golden Jubilee, she painted an icon, or what they call she wrote an icon of the Transfiguration. It was very important for her. And she told me, she said, you know, Daniel, she said, the event of the Transfiguration has always meant so much in my life because it portrays the whole meaning of my life, my life's journey. Let's look, why do we, on the second Sunday of Lent, do we contemplate the Transfiguration? Because last Sunday, if you remember, we reflected on the temptations of Jesus. The Transfiguration reveals to us the meaning of our Lenten journey to Easter. And that meaning is we are called to enter a journey of transformation into Christ. This is the feast of transformation, of Christ's transformation, of the revelation of God in Jesus. And it's very important for us because our whole life journey is really one of transformation into Christ. Let's look at the gospel. The gospel tells us that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a high mountain. Now that's an important point because mountains, as you know in the Bible, were places where people had encounters with God. They came close to God on mountains. Remember in Exodus, Moses went to Mount Sinai, and the glory of God was revealed to him in a devouring fire. Elijah, who fled from the king to save his life, from the king and the queen, he went to Mount Horeb. And on Mount Horeb, he encountered God in a silent, whispering wind. And the Gospels tell us that Jesus often retired to the mountains to pray, to commune with his Father. Therefore, the Transfiguration is, first of all, a prayer event. And that's important for us to keep in mind. It's a prayer event where Jesus took his disciples and they retired to the mountain to commune with God. And when St. Luke reports this event, he emphasizes that it was while Jesus was praying that he was transfigured. So therefore, we are in a prayer event. So there, all of a sudden, Jesus is praying with his Father. The disciples are there. And then suddenly, Jesus becomes transfigured, transformed into this being of light. I mean, can you imagine what this was for his disciples? Here, their master, whom they thought was the man like any other man. I mean, he was a special person, there's no doubt about it. He was a preacher and a healer. Yet, he was a carpenter from Nazareth. And all of a sudden, their master becomes filled with light, light from light. The beauty, a divine light radiates through him. And the gospel tells us his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. He became radiant with the light of God. And they were overwhelmed by this experience. And then all of a sudden, who appears but Moses and Elijah, the two great prophets of the Old Testament who also encountered God on a mountaintop. They come conversing with Jesus. And then again, a cloud casts a shadow over them. And from that cloud comes a voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And of course, naturally speaking, the disciples are filled with fear because it's an experience of God that's it's too much for them. What is the meaning of the Transfiguration for us? Well, as I said in the beginning, the Transfiguration reveals to us our Lenten journey to Easter. It reveals to us the meaning of our Christian life. And it's a very profound meaning, my friends. It means that the Christian life is about becoming transformed into Jesus Christ. God created us to share in the fullness of His life, to radiate His light and love in this world. The mystics express it this way, and this is also portrayed in all the icons of the Transfiguration. We're called to be divinized. Now, that's a pretty powerful word. St. John of the Cross, whom I'm going to be speaking to about this week, he described it this way, in very mystical terms, but very beautiful terms, symbolic terms, that what God desires, God being divine by nature, is that to make us God's through participation, just as fire makes everything into fire that it touches. That fire transforms everything into fire. That God desires to make us God's through participation, just as fire transforms everything into fire. What is he saying? He's saying that God is like this fire of love, this blazing fire of love that desires to transform each and every one of us into his own divine life. You say, well, that's pretty powerful. What does that really mean? I think in simplest terms, it means we were created to radiate the warmth and the light of God to each other in this world. That we are called to be transformed from the things in our life, the woundedness in our life, the sinfulness in our life, the obstacles in our lives, the hurts and all those things. That's all to be transformed and healed so that we will become vessels of God's love in a broken world. And in that way, we participate in the very life of God. Now, that is our vocation as Christians and as human beings and as Christians. The Christian life is a life of Christ. This is what we know by our baptism. At our baptism, we were baptized into Jesus Christ, into the life and into the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We were given a candle, a lighted candle, that we began a journey of becoming more and more like Christ. That therefore, we are called to look at this world and treat each other with the mind and the heart of God. That's the awesome vocation that we have. And therefore, the Transfiguration reminds us that we're called towards transformation. What do I mean by transformation? I like the saints say it in different ways. In our second reading, we heard St. Paul tell us we're called to a holy life. That's what transformation is, a holy life. Or it's called, and some mystics say, union with God through love, sanctity. You know. But I think Jesus says it best. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have life in abundance. That's transformation. To have the fullness of life. A life that's free from anger and bitterness and jealousy and envy and all of those things. A life that's free from the obstacles and the shackles of our lives that keep us back from living a life of love and compassion and mercy. And a life in abundance is a life that's charged, that's energized with love and compassion and joy and peace in our lives. This is transformation. This is transformation for us. Well, then, if that's transformation, what's the path? How do we become ever more transformed in our lives? Well, the gospel tells us. We have everything right here in the gospel. First of all, the gospel tells us through the words that the Father spoke to the disciples, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." We have to fix our eyes on Jesus and listen to his words. And that means that a life of transformation, of ongoing transformation, because our whole life is a transformation, is fixing our eyes on Jesus, putting Jesus at the very center of our lives. And I mean a living relationship with Jesus Christ. That means, first of all, a life of prayer. Making prayer a priority in our lives. And by prayer, I don't mean just saying a few Our Fathers and Hail Marys every day. And I don't mean just coming to Mass on Sunday and that's all. By prayer, I mean taking Jesus as our friend. St. Teresa of Avila, she defined prayer this way. She said, prayer is an intimate sharing between friends. It means taking time frequently to be alone with the one whom we know loves us. So prayer is taking Jesus as our friend, and it's coming to know that we are loved by Jesus. And I think that's often, we often forget about that when we think about prayer. We think about prayer as just what I say. It's words that I say, something I do. No, prayer is coming to know we're loved. It's coming to know we're loved by God and loving God. It's taking Jesus as our friend and walking with him every day of our life. Of course, that means we have to take time. Like any friendship, if I want to be your friend, I'm not just your friend 1 hour a week, okay? If I'm your friend, I'm in a living relationship with you, and I'm your friend every day. So it means taking time, making a priority to develop this friendship. And in that respect, we each need to find a Mount Tabor in our daily life. We need to go to the mountain every day, if we can, for just even a few moments. And that Mount Tabor can be our bedroom. It can be out in the garden. It can be definitely in the chapel. It can be in our car as we drive around. Or it can even be in a bathroom. I know a woman who has 6 children, and she says, "Father, my Mount Tabor is my bathroom." Okay. I go to the bathroom. It's the only way I get away from the kids. Okay. You know, I go and I shut the door for a few moments, and I can center myself and be alone with my God. Okay. So whatever it is, wherever we choose, we need to choose a place, a corner in the bedroom or the living room or someplace, or the bathroom or the car or someplace in the garden, you know, where we can say, "Lord, I'm here for you," so that I can learn how much you love me and I can respond to your love. But prayer also is bringing Jesus into our work, our relationships, our joys, and our sufferings. Prayer is not something we just do 15, 20 minutes a day or an hour on Sunday. No. It's living with God every day, and that's a great challenge. Offering what we do to God, thanking God throughout the day, bringing the Lord into our relationships, our family relationships, our marital relationships, our relationships with our children, our work, no matter what we do. And that's a great challenge for us, isn't it? Because it's so easy for us to become so absorbed in our daily lives that we forget that God is with us. It also means to listen to the words of Jesus, to take up the scriptures, to read the scriptures, even if we just read the Sunday Mass, the Sunday Gospel throughout the week, and take that Gospel, the readings of the Sunday Liturgy or the daily Liturgy, and every day just read them for a few moments and try to apply them to our lives. The scriptures are full of the words of Jesus that we need to take into our daily lives. Like, be compassionate as your Heavenly Father is compassionate. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Walk the extra mile. Turn the other cheek. Love one another as I have loved you. to take those words and try to practice them in our daily lives. But the life of prayer and following Jesus is not just for our own special holiness, okay? It's for other people. In our gospel, Jesus and the disciples descend the mountain. They go down, they leave the mountain, and they go towards Jerusalem. The meaning of the Transfiguration was to reveal two things. First of all, it introduces the mystery of the cross. The mystery of the cross. That it prepared the disciples for the scandal of the cross. It prepared them to undergo the sufferings that they would have to encounter in a short while as Jesus went through his humiliation. And you know, we need prayer. We need prayer because without prayer, without a relationship with God, how can we get through life? You know, the other day I'm at a shrine in Wisconsin, and we have people who come with very serious problems to our shrine to pray. And I was in the shrine the other day, and a lady was crying. She was crying very hard. And so when I was leaving, she said, "Father, can I see you for just a few moments?" And I said, "Yes." And this was a woman who was in her 50s. And she said, "Father, I just discovered I have cancer. And not only that, but my husband also has cancer. And we have two children. How could I do this without prayer? I have to come here to pray." There are things in our lives that we can only get through because of prayer. Only get through because of prayer. And in prayer, we have the courage to confront the realities of life with faith, hope, and love. But also, prayer, the purpose of prayer is to transform us and to send us on a mission to radiate the life of God to one another. And this is important. Because the more that we pray, or the more that we enter into an intimate friendship with Jesus, let me put it that way, and make Jesus the heart of our life, the more our life will radiate his compassion, his love, and we will give warmth and light to other people. Jesus said in the gospel, I am the light of the world, you are the light of the world. I'm always struck by that. He says, "You are the light of the world. Let your work shine before others." In other words, let the light within you shine forth. And what is that light within us? It's divine life. It's God's life. It's the life of Christ within us. And that is, it's already there. We don't have to try to get it. It's there. We have to let it shine forth. And we let it shine forth by our love. And the more we pray, the more we become like light. And the more that we become warmth for other people. And this is the meaning of the Feast of the Transfiguration and the meaning of our own lives. That we are called to radiate the light, the love, the compassion of Jesus Christ in this world. And we need to be transformed for this. And this is what God desires for us. Now, long ago, as you recall, Blessed John Henry Newman was beatified by Pope Benedict XVI in England. And you may have heard this prayer. It's a very beautiful prayer. I'm only going to read a part of it, you know, because I don't want to detain you any further. But it's a prayer that expresses the meaning of the Transfiguration and transformation. "Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that my life may be only a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and no longer see me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others around me. And this is why we're on this Lenten journey. Every year, to remind us once again of the purpose of our life, which is a life of transformation into Christ, to let the light of Christ within us shine forth to other people. And in that way, we preach, not just by our words, but by our very life.